I want to discuss with you a topic that's engaged the minds of Gedolei Yisrael throughout the centuries. We'll see that it became very relevant at the time of the Mishnah Lamelech. The Mishnah Lamelech was a Turkish Gadol, Rav Yehuda Roznas was his name, who died about 300 years ago. And he's famous for a book called the Mishnah Lamelech, which is a super commentary on the Rambam. But he also wrote a book called the Parshas Drachim. And the Parshas Drachim is the one sefer that dedicates the entire sefer to this one famous central chakira, and that's what's the status of the Jewish people, in quotation marks, up until Mamad Har Sinai. Did the Avos have the status of Bnei Yisrael or the status of Bnei Noach? We know from the Gemara in Krisus on Daf Tes that every Jew in Klal Yisrael underwent Gerus at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim before leading up to Mamad Har Sinai. There was Mila, there was Tvila, and there was Karman Ager. Every element in Gerus took place then. So the natural conclusion that we would derive, therefore, is that up until Mamad Har Sinai, the Jewish people did not exist as a nation in a halachic sense. They did not have the status of a Yisrael. However, the Parshas Drachim questions this premise, and he thinks that it's quite possible that the situation of Klal Yisrael and the status thereof was that of Bnei Yisrael. They were Yatsu Mechlal Agoyim way before Matan Torah. Of course, the obvious question is going to be, so what do we do with the Sugi in Krisus that establishes all the laws of Gerus are derived from Klal Yisrael at the time of Mamad Har Sinai? But be that as it may, at some point early on in the history of our nation, probably dating back to Avraham Avinu, there already was a process by which Klal Yisrael emerged as a people, and they had the Dinim of Yisrael. And the main proof of this is a Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin, which is the first source on your page. And this Gemara derives a radical conclusion from a pasuk in Perek Chav Vav, that's in Parshas Toldos, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Yaakov Avinu, we read it just recently, that he will inherit the land of Israel. And in the framework, in the context of that promise, Hashem says, because of the greatness of Avraham Avinu, that this is my fulfillment of the promise to Avraham Avinu. And the Torah describes Avraham Avinu and why Hashem chose Avraham Avinu. And the Pasuk says the following. We're in Perek Chavav, Pasuk He. And it says, Ekev, why have I chosen Avraham Avinu? Asher shama Avraham bekoli, vayishmar mishmarti mitzvosai chukosai visorosai. So we have four words indicating, according to Chazal, four categories of the entire corpus of Torah that was observed by Avraham Avinu. Shama Avraham bekoli. Number one, we have mishmarti, we have mitzvosai, we have chukosai, and we have sorosai. Sorosai. And if you take a look at the Gemara in Kiddushin, it says, Matzinu sha'as Avraham Avinu es kol ha-Torah kula ad shelo nitna. Avraham Avinu observed the entire Torah even before it was given. Now, it could be that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim the Torah as a Ben Noach, but that's a little bit of a stretch. We're going to investigate that possibility. But in the Parshas Drachim, initially, he believes that this Gemara should be understood as a straightforward premise that Avraham Avinu was already a Jew. Now, the Pasuk is broken down, as we said before, into four different parts. And Rashi tells us that each of these four are categories of Torah which were observed by Avraham Avinu. The first category, Rashi says, Nishmarti Gzeros L'Archoka Al Azhara Sheva Torah. These are Gzeros D'Rabbanon, Harchokos, like the Mishnah says at the beginning of Avos Asu, Siyag LaTorah. And Rashi gives two examples, Kigon Shnios LaRayos Ushvus L'Shabbos. Kigon, Rashi is giving examples. There are many other examples that Rashi could have given. For example, here in Yeshiva, we're learning about Basa B'Cholav. In Basa B'Cholav, there's a ton of harchakos. A long list. I mean, even chicken with milk is only a harchaka. But Rashi gives these examples. And what would you say, if Avraham Avinu observed the harchakos, then what about the Doraisa? For sure, right? I mean, in other words, it doesn't make any sense that he would have Avram would have violated Shabbos and yet kept the harchakos of Shabbos, or violated Arayos and kept the harchakos of Arayos. But the answer is because Avram Avinu fulfilled the entire Torah even before it was given. So there's no need for the Torah to go through, for the Torah here in describing Avram, to go through every single mitzvah, every category of mitzvah. Avram was mekayim the entire Torah, the whole corpus. And the proof of that is that the Yishmar Mishmarti, he even observed the Drabanos. So for sure he observed the Doraisas. So what's mitzvosai? No, there's now Rashi is in a bind, because the next category is mitzvosai. You just finished telling me that Avraham Avinu was mekayim the whole Torah, and he left out nothing. And the proof is he was even makpid about the harchakos and the gzeros. So he must have obviously been careful about all the mitzvahs of the Torah. So why do you have to specify mitzvosai? So Rashi says, what's mitzvosai? Dvarim she'ilu lo nichtavu ru'uyim heimlitz tavos. There are some ethical laws which are intuitive, they're rational, and even if the Torah had not legislated these laws, we would have derived them from logic. They're commonly observed. Kigon, Rashi says, gezel u'shvichas damim. Now, I don't understand, frankly, what's going on here. If Avraham Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, then certainly he was Mekayim Gezel and Shvichas Damim. Right? Avraham Avinu was very careful that his camels should be muzzled and not eat from somebody else's grazing land. At least according to Rashi, the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says that he didn't have to bother muzzling the camels. They wouldn't even dreamt of eating someone else's grass. But be that as it may, Avraham Avinu was certainly makpid on Gezel. Harimosi es yadi, you know, he refuses to take misroch atzroch now, you know. Shvichas domim, I mean. But then Rashi, yeah?
Why is it called mitzvosai? It's Hashem mitzvah, if it's he arrives at them by logic.
I think
just mitzvot, maybe.
I think, Dan, the answer to your question is that by process of elimination, meaning Rashi doesn't know what to do with the word mitzvosai, so he's got to come up with something. So mitzvosai means those mitzvos which are logical. You're right, it doesn't sound like mitzvosai. Very, very, very big push over here. But my question only is, why did the Torah have to single out mitzvosai like Gezel and Shvichas Domim if Avraham Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula? Then it says chukosai. Okay, chukosai, I understand. Rashi says, Dvarim sheyetzar rav yumos olam mashivin oleim. These are the chukim that are not intuitively or, you know, not apparently logical. Kigon achilas chazir levisha shatnez. And of course, the mefarshim throughout the generations have tried to explain what is the rationale behind the Easter enjoining us from eating ham, or wearing, you know, a combination of linen and wool, and whatever they say, but it's not inherently or intuitively logical. Now again, if Avraham Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, Ad shelo nitna, then certainly he was mekayim the chukim. Why did the Torah have to specify the chukim? So far my batting average is not very good. I got 1 out of 3 over here. I can figure out why the Torah had to write v'yishmar mishmarti, because that's telling you that even the archakos, but I'm not doing too well on mitzvosai and chukosai. And finally, v'torosai, says Rashi, lohavi torah shebal peh, aloch lemoshe v'yisrael. Okay, that I can appreciate, because Avraham Avinu accepted upon himself the mitzvahs as they were recorded in the Torah, but who says that he accepted upon himself even halacha lemoshe v'yisrael? Like, for example, from where you sit, I don't know if any of you, I don't think any of you are farmers, but in theory, would you have a problem of Orla? Is there Orla in Canada?
Yeah,
that's halacha lemoshe v'yisrael. So you might have thought that Avraham Avinu was only mekayim those mitzvahs that are explicit in the Torah. Kamash malon torosai, even Torah shebal peh, even halacha lemoshe v'yisrael. So basically, Avraham Avinu took the entire gamut. Now, why do you have to specify those mitzvahs that are inherently logical, like Gezel and Shvichas Domim? I mean, that for sure Avraham Avinu was Mekayim. But maybe what Rashi wants to suggest here in the word mitzvosai, and perhaps, Dan, this would be the answer to your question from before, is that even though these mitzvos are logical, nevertheless Avraham Avinu accepted them not as logical mitzvos. That didn't phase, you know, Avraham. That didn't motivate him. His motivation was to accept them as mitzvahs. So, for example, if let's say you steal something from me and you refuse to return it. So I decide that I'm going to steal something from you, right? Tit for tat. But the halacha doesn't allow me to go into your rishus and just steal something from you. I mean, there is something called Ovid Inishtina Lenafshe, which we discussed at great length in the past. But barring very limited exceptions to the rule, I can't just walk in and take the law into my own hands. And I could probably come up with a zillion examples where the Torah would legislate an Iser Gezel, even though it's not necessarily intuitive and logical. And even in the case of Shvichas Domim, there may be cases where you could justify kaviyachol spilling someone's blood on a rational level, you know, mercy killing and the like. And nevertheless, the Torah prohibits it. And this becomes very relevant, of course, in organ transplants, you know, from cadavers, and that, you know, why not take out the heart while it's still beating? I mean, the guy's going to die anyway. Let's save someone else's life. So it could be that what we're saying here is that even those moral and rational laws that we would have intuitively accepted without the Torah, but Avraham Avinu accepted them as mitzvahs, with an absolute commitment to the halachic fulfillment of those mitzvahs. And chukosai, perhaps what the chiddush here is, the greatness of Avraham Avinu, is that he's not impressed or influenced by the jeering crowd who are making fun of him. And they're saying, why would you accept upon yourself something that's so ludicrous, like not wearing a garment because it has a couple of stitches of linen in it? But Avraham Avinu overcame all those influences and he was absolutely committed to the mitzvahs. In that sense, Avraham Avinu becomes, in a sense, the paradigm of a Jew. You know, I was always wondering who's considered a good Jew. And there are many, many different answers to this question. And Avraham Avinu seems to fit the bill because of his absolute commitment to the entire gamut of Torah. And if you look in the Gemara in Yuma, which you'll see at the second source on your page, the Gemara says in the name of Rav that he was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, and quotes this pasuk in Parshas Toldos. But then Rav Ashi goes a step further and he says that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim even Erev Tavshilin, which Rashi points out that Erev Tavshilin is a takana sofrim. You know, it's not even halacha lemoshe v'yisrael, and it's not a harchaka that maybe he'll violate the d'oraisa of erva or Shabbos. No, we're talking about a takana midivrehem, that under certain circumstances, if Yontif falls out on certain days of the week, we have to make an Erev Tavshilin so that we can continue cooking throughout the Yontif. And even that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim. And yet, the question I want to ask you is, were the Avos...
How many days of Yontif did Avraham Avinu keep when he was in Haran? Did he keep one or two?
I think according to this Gemara, he kept 2 days Yontif.
There you go.
Now the question is, were the Avos actually meticulous in their observance of the mitzvahs? Well, let's jump to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu married two sisters. You're not allowed to marry two sisters.
Outside of Chutz Laaretz, outside of Israel.
Excellent. That's the Ramban's answer. I don't know, Yechiel, I'm very impressed that you know that Ramban. But maybe we discussed it in Midvale one time. I don't know.
Maybe.
But be that as it may, what about Yaakov marrying two sisters according to the Parshas Drachim? So the Parshas Drachim has a very unique answer to the question of why Yaakov was allowed to be married to two sisters.
Some say that they weren't considered sisters.
They're Megayer.
Right?
Excellent.
They were Megayer.
Excellent. And you know where that comes from? It comes from the Parshas Drachim. You see how much of an impact the Parshas Drachim had in the last four centuries. Everybody knows the Parshas Drachim. The Parshas Drachim says the following. And here he's going to base himself on what's called the Efas Torah. The Efas Torah was also a Turkish Jew. He was a rabbi about a century before the Mishnah Lemelech, the Parshas Drachim. And his name was Yafeh. And his first name was Shmuel. And he wrote a super commentary on the Medrash, which is called the Efas Torah, because his last name was Yafeh, so he called it the Efas Torah. And he claims that the Avos accepted the entire Torah, and they underwent a process of Gerus. It's interesting. We'll have to see exactly what they did for Gerus. And therefore, Yaakov marrying two sisters is not prohibited, because since those two sisters also underwent Gerus, they're no longer considered sisters.
Okay, it's a good start.
Okay, we'll get into that a little bit later. But first, I want to tell you something that seems to contradict the Parshas Drachim, and maybe even the Ramban. The Gemara tells us at the end of Pesachim what it's going to look like in the Achris Hayomim, when there'll be this great Seuda of Tzadikim, Azimoleis Chokpinu. And the Gemara says, the third source on your page, that they were walking around the table with the Koshel Bracha and trying to offer it first Avram. He turns it down because he has Yishmael. Then they tried to offer it to Yitzchak. He turns it down because he had Esav. Each one of the Avos refuses the kavod, this great kavod, to bench at the Suda at the end of time. Then they get to Yaakov. Now Yaakov Avinu has no excuse to turn this down, because any Rishoyim came from him. He was Mitaso Shlema. So Yaakov says, I'm not going to take it either. Why? Shanina Sasi Shtei Achyos Bechayehem. That I married two sisters and they were both alive at the time. You know, you are allowed to marry your wife's sister, but only if your wife dies, Rachman Otzan, right? But he married two sisters, they were Tzoros, Leah and Rachel. So therefore Yaakov was embarrassed, and he said, I'm not suitable to take this great honor. Now, if you go with the Ramban says that Rachel died b'derech Efrat, b'derech Beis Lechem, before she entered into Eretz Yisrael, so that Yaakov would not violate the Yisur Shtei Achyos. If you go with the Parshas Drachim, Yaakov, insofar as he and his two wives underwent Gerus, they weren't sisters, so he never violated the Yisur Shtei Achyos. Why does Yaakov Avinu turn down this kavod with the guilt that he married two sisters? That's an important question. But before we answer that question, I want to show you another Gemara, this time the Sugya of Ben Noach.
Why is that the guilt? Why don't we say that Yaakov still had Esav as a brother? That's why he wasn't considered 100% pure.
You can give all sorts of examples of Yaakov.
Yitzchak gave that example because he had Esav. So Yaakov also had Esav.
No, you're right. You're right, he had Esav as a bracha, as a brother. Maybe you can make an argument about that. But again, the Gemara, I don't know if you have the Gemara in front of you, the Gemara says, what is Yaakov Avinu saying? What words come out of Yaakov Avinu's mouth? Why does he refuse the covenant? And the Gemara says, Eini mevarech shenasasi shtei achyos b'chayehem. That's what Yaakov comes up with. He didn't blame it on Esav, his brother. He blamed it on the fact that he was married to two sisters, which, according to everything we know, Bein L'Ramban or Bein L'Parshas Drachim was halachically permissible.
Now, it could be also that it's like the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. So he felt he contradicted the spirit of the law.
Okay, excellent. Very good, Dan. That's very good. And I want to bring a riot to what you say, because in the next three words in the Gemara, it says, Shasida Torah Liasran. Why did Yaakov have to add those words, Asida Torah Liasran? Why is that relevant? You yourself were Makabal Torah, and you were Mizgayer, according to the Marash Yofer, according to the Ifas Torah, and therefore they weren't sisters. So who cares about the fact that down the line? So it does seem then that there's room to push into this Gemara that Yaakov didn't really mean that he had violated Chas V'Shalom the Iser Erva of two sisters, which is a very severe Iser, it's a Chiv Kares, but rather it means that Asida Torah Liasran, it doesn't smell right, like you say, the spirit of the law. But there's a more fundamental raya, a proof, that the Avos were Gerim. We have, first of all, the fact that they were Mekayim Kol Torah Kula. Number two, the fact that Yaakov married two sisters, the way the Parshas Drachim understood it. But now I have a third proof. And that is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the famous Sugya of Bnei Noach. And the Gemara enumerates the seven Isurim of a Ben Noach. And then the Gemara adds an eighth one. What's the eighth? Oven kochavim sheshavas chayav misa. Now what happens over here? The Goyim are not allowed to establish a religion unto themselves. They can establish the Zion Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, and that's it. Nothing more. Shabbos is not on the list. And therefore, if the Goyim observe Sunday as a religious day of rest, that's in violation of this Isur, which according to Reish Lakish, Chai of Misa. And it means Yom V'Layla Lo Yishbosu. It's not just a reference to the meteorological, biological spheres, but even to human beings, Lo Yishbosu. There's a separate Isur of Lo Yishbosu. Then the Gemara says in the name of Ravina, Afilu Sheni B'Shabbos. Rashi says, let's say a guy decides that today is Monday, but it's Canada Day. So I'm going to take off the day of work, because why should I work on Canada Day? I remember when I was in Canada, it seemed to me that every Muntag and Darnishtik, there was another day off. I guess the Canadians have to somehow justify the difficult life in that country. So they take off a lot of days. I don't know. But then I have a friend...
Misa for this?
Yeah, you might be Chayav Misa for that. Yeah. In fact, I have a friend in Gibraltar, and he tells me the weather there is great, and they also have a day off almost every week. They find some sort of excuse, but that's because they want to enjoy the good weather. In any event, Rashi says, he says the following, what's Afilu B'Sheni B'Shabbos? Rashi says, the Lo Chavim Lishbos Kigon Shabbos, he didn't want to make the day into a religious holiday, like he says, Yom Rishon for the Notzrim. Like Rashi's very aware of the fact that Sunday for some Christians is a religious day, and therefore they don't do any work. Ela Menucha B'Almak, he wants just a day of rest. He wants to take off from work. Ka'asa Lahu, Shelo yibatlo mimalachto. They cannot even be batlo mimalachto even on a day which is not a day of Shvisa. So again, that's what you have to think about. Now, Rabosai, what do we do? Yechiel, here's a question for you. This question, you're going to get...
Wait a minute.
You're going to give me an answer to this question because I know you know the answer. What happens to a non-Jew who's preparing for Gerus? And they're learning Gerus, and they observe all the mitzvahs, because you can't just expect them overnight, you know, they go into the mikvah.
They take these machal Shabbos in one Indian.
Excellent. So the guy, he's still a guy, or she's still a guy, so she turns on the light, and therefore she observes the Shabbos minus one malach. Correct? Now, in the case of the Avos, Yaakov, in Avram, Yitzhak, we don't find that they did any malach on Shabbos. In fact, the Gemara tells us, the Chazal tell us, that of all the mitzvos that the Avos were very meticulous about, the one that's on top of the list is Shabbos. And Chazal say that when Yosef was in Mitzrayim, he made sure that Ephraim Menashe would be very, very careful about observing the Shabbos, and there were all sorts of discussions about how he did this in the palace of Paro and such and such. And the Ramban, if you remember, says that Shabbos is really the yisod, the foundation of all our belief, and therefore they observe the Shabbos. Where do we find that the Avos did a single malach on Shabbos like the potential ger? David, can you speak a little louder?
Avraham Avinu wore tzitzis b'shusha rabbin.
What did he do?
He wore tzitzis b'shusha rabbin. So if he's tzitzis, if not, he's carrying in b'chal Shabbos.
Ah, that's what it says by Avraham. It says that about Avraham Avinu. I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's a Medrash or something. I remember reading it.
There are Midrashim like that, but I don't remember it's about Avraham Avinu. But in any event, it would be a lot simpler to take the following approach. Namely, that the Avos had a status of Yisrael. They underwent Gerus, and therefore they observed the Shabbos without any violations of the Shabbos. And this halach of Goyish Shabbos Chayav Misa does not apply to them. That would be the simple way of going. And that's the way of the Marash Yaffa, Reb Shmuel Yaffa, who wants to bring this Gemara in Sanhedrin as a proof that indeed the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had the status of full-fledged Yisrael.
What was the machlekes by Yosef and his brothers? Wasn't the whole
machlekes? You're talking about when he accused them of eating Avram and Achai or something like that? So if it's Avram and Achai, then Mimonafshach, either as a Benoch or as Yisrael. But there's one chazal that seems to indicate that he accused them of eating the Vela.
Right.
Non-Shech. So that means they had the status of Yisrael. So maybe you could say that they didn't accept that because they thought they only had the status of a Benno. All this is in the Parshas Drachim. Now, wait, just 1 minute. Before I forget to tell you this, the law is... Wait a minute. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in the same sugi, that a Benoch is not allowed to learn Torah. And a Benoch that learns Torah is Chayav Misa. The Rambam codifies that at the bottom of your page 1 in Perek Yud Milchus Melachim. Goy Shasak B'Torah Chayav Misa. Again, what part of Torah is a guy allowed to learn and even encouraged to learn? The Zion Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. But what about the Parsha of Egla Rufa? That's not included in the Zion Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And the Gemara tells us that when Yosef wanted to send a simon to his father, he sent him an Eglah Rufa, something that an agola that indicated that the last sugi we learned together was Eglah Rufa. And the Ramban says at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev that Yaakov Avinu taught Yosef the Kol HaTorah Kula, even the Tamei Mitzvahs and the Sodos of the Torah. But what about Goyish Shavas? Excuse me, Goyish Shasek B'Torah, Chayav Misa. So once again, the Marash Yaffa quotes this as a proof that the Avos had the status of full-fledged Jews and not B'nai Noach. Yeah, Yechiel.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm waiting, and plotting if you get so the time. Rabbi.
Yeah.
It says in Parshas Bereishis, that when Hashem created the world in the 6 days and rested on the seventh, and from there we derive that there is a Shabbos. So how can we say that a goy who keeps a Shabbos, Sunday, whatever, he's Chayav Misa? That's ridiculous. The goyim should listen to the Bible, if you will. Shouldn't they? No.
Well,
before there was even a yid, right in the first few lines of the Torah, it's saying.
Well, Yechiel, you know, it could be that certain parts of the Torah we can encourage the goyim to volunteer and accept them. Shabbos comes under a separate category because it was given as a special bris, a special gift that reflects on the intimate relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same is true of Torah, Memorashi Kilos Yaakov. And some of the Mefarshim want to claim that if a guy studies Torah or he observes the Shabbos, he violates Gezel. He's literally stealing something from the Jewish people. The Rambam, on the other hand, that you have in front of you, seems to indicate that the problem with Shabbos is Chidush Das. What does it mean, Chidush Das? The Torah gave the Bnei Noach a Das. And that Das is comprised of seven mitzvahs. They're not allowed to create a new Das. By setting up Sunday as a day of rest and a religious holiday, they are creating a new Das. That they're not allowed to do. So again, there are many different dimensions to this sugya of Bnei Noach. And
on a plain reading, I understand what you're saying. On a plain reading of the Pesukim in Bereishis, it seems that Hashem gave a day of rest to the entire world.
Well, it says that God rested. That it says. But anything beyond that, I think, was given to Klal Yisrael. I don't know. Again, maybe Yechiel, you know better than me. I don't know that there's any evidence that at any point in the history since history of man since creation that the Shabbos was observed by anyone but the Jewish nation. Meaning, it seems to me that Shabbos was given at Har Sinai, and it's one of the mitzvos of Ben Yisrael. It's not one of the seven mitzvos Bnei Noach. I don't know that the Bnei Noach at any point in time observed the Shabbos. For example, if you go back to Noach in the Teva, I don't know that Noach observed the Shabbos. I don't know that Adam Arishan observed the Shabbos. I don't know. You have to study that. But be that as it may, the Parshas Drachim quotes the Marash Yafe, and he says that the Avos fulfilled a meticulous observance of the Shabbos. Why? Because they had the status of a Ben Yisrael. All right.
Let me just interject for a second.
Yeah, the only thing is, Rabosa, you guys have to go to work. I mean, I could be here till midnight. You know.
What?
What I would like to suggest is, if you can stay beyond, when do we finish, 8:05, whatever it is on the clock, whenever the alarm goes off, then I'm willing to take questions. But right now, let me just... No, because I'm not even halfway through. Okay, let me just give you the picture, and then I'll stay for questions if you can. Okay. Now, Rabosai, even though the Parshas Drachim seems to be very excited about this approach, that Klal Yisrael already emerged from the time of Avram as Bnei Yisrael with Geirus and everything, and he quotes in the name of Rash Yaffa with many Rayas, nevertheless, he says that an earlier contemporary, probably not a contemporary, probably a century before the Marash Yaffa, is Rav Elio Mizrahi, who's famous for his super commentary on Rashi. And the Mizrahi says, listen carefully, that the Avos were Makayim Kol HaTorah Kula, but not because they had a status of a Ben Yisrael, not because they had a full-fledged Gerus, but it was a Chumrah that they took upon themselves. In other words, watch this. There's a fundamental machlokas here between the Marash Yafa, Rav Shmuel Yafa on the one hand, and Rav Yom Mizrahi on the other hand. Rav Shmuel Yafa understood that the Avos embraced Gerus, and that any dinim that applied to them as a Ben Noach was no longer applicable. There are no dinim of a Ben Noach that apply to them. However, Rav Yom Mizrahi holds that fundamentally there was no Gerus. Gerus took place at Maimon Har Sinai. The Avos took upon themselves on a voluntary basis to fulfill the mitzvos, but only L'chumrah. They could not use the status of a Yisrael L'kula. Now, you and I would say, wait a minute, what do you mean? The status of a Yisrael is always L'chumrah, is it not? Well, yeah, David, there are a lot of coolers here. What are the coolers? Oh, let's take for... You mean to say, let's say, what's it called? A ben pkua. Is that what you mean, a ben pkua?
No, I meant something else.
Oh, a mefracheses. Mefracheses.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, mefracheses, fine. Okay, but Rabosai, before we get to that, let's just... I want to just zoom in on the facts that we have over here. We said that Yaakov Avinu was able to marry two sisters. Why was he able to marry two sisters? Because he was Megayer. Well, wait a minute. That's good according to Rosh Yaffa. But if you go with Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi, then there was no real Gerus. And basically they had the commitment to observe the Zion Mitzvahs B'nai Noach as B'nai Noach. And therefore, how could Yaakov Avinu marry two sisters? That's question number one. Question number two is that according to the Mizrahi, how is it possible that the Avos would observe the Shabbos? If you tell me they wanted to take on a Chumrah, but fundamentally they have the status of B'nai Noach, then a B'nai Noach is not allowed to take on Shabbos. And at the same token, what about Talmud Torah? How would the Avos be allowed to study Torah if fundamentally they were B'nai Noach and they have to take on all the chumras of a Ben Noach? They can only take on an additional chumra as a Ben Yisrael. But therefore they have no right and no permission to study Torah.
If you want to be a ger, before you want to be a ger, you have to know certain halachas.
Right.
And therefore, you're allowed to learn these halachas because that's a prerequisite to be a ger.
Right.
The same thing here. Before they became Gerim, they had to learn the halachas to become a Gerim.
Yeah, that's great if you accept the Marash Yaffa, but if you accept the Mizrahi says they never became Gerim. They always remained B'nai Noach, and that's their status. They can take on chumras, but they can't take on kulos. In other words, it goes like this. According to the Marash Yaffa, the Gerus is even Lakula. And therefore, any prohibitions that were imposed upon them or incumbent upon them as B'nai Noach are completely wiped off the map because the Gerus is even Lakula. But according to the Mizrahi, that the Gerus is only Lachumrah, meaning they really didn't have Gerus, their status and their commitment is as a Ben Noach. Then we have all these caches. How did the Avos violate the dinim and the requirements of a Ben Noach? Whether it's Talmud Torah, whether it's Shabbos, whether it's marrying two sisters.
There is no Gezer because there are no Jews at all.
What?
So they can't observe Shabbos.
Because there's no Gezer. Okay.
There are no Jews. There is no
all right. Matter. That's good. Dan, I like that. That's thinking out of the box. Okay. Fine.
Doesn't matter if Jews
are right.
In the box. Still Gezer.
Okay, Rabosa. Comes along the Parshas Drachim, and he says the following. That in truth, this machlokas is not a machlokas between that emerged in the 15th century, you know, with the Mizrahi and the Marash Yaffa. This machlokas is really a machlokas Rishonim. Why? Because the Ramban, at the end of Parshas Emor, which I think is on page 5, I don't know if you have page 5, says that from the moment that Avram Avinu underwent Mila, at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, there already was Gerus. How does the Ramban prove this idea? The pasuk says that Avram Avinu underwent Gerus, underwent Mila, and therefore the Ramban says that with the Gerus of Avram Avinu began Klal Yisrael as a din of B'nai Yisrael.
You're saying Ishmael is a Jew?
Who?
Ishmael.
So the Ramban proves it because the Gemara says about Esav that Esav is a Mumar Yisrael hu u Mumar hu. In other words, that Esav had the status of a mumar. But the Gemara says he has the status of a Yisrael mumar. It means that Esav himself was a Yisrael. And that's a Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Yud Ches. But getting back to the Ramban, why is the Ramban at the end of Parshas Emor? There we have the story of the Megadeth. And the Torah describes the Yichus of a Megadeth. His mother was Jewish and his father was a Mitzri. And the Torah says, V'hu ben ish Mitzri. And then it says, B'toch b'nei Yisrael. What's B'toch b'nei Yisrael? Again, this is the son of a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother. Megadeth. You want to open it up? If you have the Chumash, it's in Vayikra, Perek, Chavdal. Okay? Now both sides. What does it mean, B'toch b'nei Yisrael? Melamed shenizgayer. Says the Ramban, why does he need Gerus? His mother was Jewish. The din is that Akuma Bal Bas Yisrael have Vlad Kosher. And therefore the Vlad, whose father is Goyish, doesn't need Gerus. Why did the Megadeth, Benish Mitzri, require Gerus? And the Ramban is so convinced of his question that he says, May Esha Bavram Bibris Hayu Yisrael Vagayim Lo Yischashavu. And this Gerus of the Megadeth, because his father was not Jewish, is not a real Gerus. And not only that, he equates the Gerus of the Megadeth to the Gerus of Klal Yisrael at the time of Har Sinai. Now, why did Klal Yisrael, the Gemara increases that we started with on Daf Tes, why did Klal Yisrael have to go through Gerus? If in any event, according to Ramban Sheet at least, by Goyim Lo Yischashav, from the time of Avram's Mila, they already were B'nai Yisrael. So why do we need Gerus? So I thought that maybe the Ramban would say that they needed Gerus as a Tzibur. It's not really the Gerus of a Yachid. But now the Ramban is saying that this Gerus of the Ben Ish Mitzri is the same identical Gerus as the Gerus that took place that Klal Yisrael underwent at the time of Har Sinai. But be that as it may, one thing is clear. There are a lot of things that are not clear, but what is clear is that according to the Ramban, Gerus begins with Avram Avinu, Klal Yisrael emerges with Avram Avinu from the time of the Mila. I once gave a whole shiur in Thornhill. We had some sort of, I don't know, maybe it was the year celebration at the conclusion of the first year of YU. I don't remember exactly, but we had a whole day of Shiurim up in Thornhill. I don't know if anybody remembers. But I gave... What?
I think I went to that.
Yeah. So I gave a whole shiur. Again, you may not have gone to my shiur. There were a lot of shiurim going on simultaneously.
Yeah, there were
multiple shiurim. So I remember I gave a shiur on the Kivshan HaEsh. Do you remember this? Avraham Avinu chooses to get thrown into the Kivshan rather than violate Avodah Zarah. And that makes no sense because Avram Avinu, as a Ben Noach, is not obligated in Kiddush Hashem. In fact, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah that if you're not obligated in Kiddush Hashem, you don't even have the right to volunteer for Kiddush Hashem. And even if you'll tell me, like the Ramban, that Avram Avinu underwent Gerus and therefore he was chayv in the midst of Kiddush Hashem, but that's only from the moment of Mila. This was like 7 decades before his Mila. You know, Avraham Avinu was a young man when he got thrown into the Kivshan HaEsh. So I gave a whole shiur on that. Anyway, it just popped into my head. You know, I guess when I see the Canadians, I start thinking of my experiences in Canada, you know. All right. So that's the Ramban's kasha. Now, the Ramban quotes the Chachmei Tzarfas. And the Chachmei Tzarfas say that Kodem Matan Torah Havlad hayu misyaches achar aviv kiben noach. The Chachmei Tzarfas take the Gerus of the Megadeth very seriously, and they claim that because the Megadeth was the son of a Mitzri, the law of a ben noach is that his yichus depends upon his father. So let's say, for example, if you have an Ammoni who marries a Mitzris, then the child is an Ammoni, which means that down the line he could undergo Gerus, whereas a no, I'm a Pukfaken. that because he's an Ammoni, is lo yava b'kal Hashem, whereas a Mitzri is dar shlishi. Okay, that's a whole sugya in Yevamos. But be that as it may, when it comes to Ben Noach, the yichus is determined by the father. And since the status of the people of Israel was that of Bnei Noach, this Megadev, whose father was a Mitzri, needs Gerus, because as a Ben Noach, his Yichus goes after his father. Says the Parshas Drachim, the Machlokes between the Marash Yafah and Rabbi Yoel Mizrahi about the status of the Jewish nation before Matan Torah is identical with the Machlokes between the Ramban and the Chachmei Tzarfas, quoted by the Ramban. The Chachmei Tzarfas understood that there is no Gerus before Matan Torah, and therefore anyone who had a non-Jewish father would certainly require Gerus. Whereas the Ramban is of the opinion that from the time of the Mila, there was Gerus, and therefore the Mizrahi should be lined up with the Chachmei Tzarfas, and the Ramban, and the Marash Yafeh should be lined up with the Ramban. But then the Parshas Drachim makes a really cool move, and he says that in truth, this is a machlokas back at the time of the Gemara itself. This is not just a machlokas between the Ramban and the Chachmei Tzarfas. And all this is on page 2 and page 3 of Yomar Makomos. I'm just giving you a little bit of a taste of it. Says the Parshas Drachim, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Nachri Sheshavas or Nachri Shalomet Torah is Chayav Misa. The Gemara in Sanhedrin must be assuming that the Avos left the status of Ben Noach and they had a full-fledged Gerus, and therefore they were allowed to observe the Shabbos and study Torah. However, he says that there's a Medrash Rabbah in Shmos Rabbah, and this you'll see on page 2 of your Maor Makomos, the third paragraph, for Isi Parshas. Just one second. Did I make a mistake? Yeah, I'm sorry. On page 3 of your Maor Makomos, there's a paragraph that starts with Shmos Rabbah. And what?
Third paragraph?
I guess you'd call it the second paragraph or second and a half paragraph. It starts with Bishmos Rabbah. You have it?
Yeah.
Okay, we have 5 more minutes. I'll try to fit this all in. What does it say in Shmos Rabbah? In Shmos Rabbah, it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri, you might think that he killed the Mitzri because the Mitzri hit a Jew, right? Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Mitzri Makeish Ivri, and he kills him. You might think that the reason he killed him is because a guy who hits a Yisrael is Chayav Misa. And that's why Moshe took the law into his own hands. The major says no. The reason why he killed him is not because he hit the Yisrael, but rather because he had violated Gilui Arayos. Okay, this Mitzri had relations with a married Jewish woman. Now, why is it that he wouldn't be Chayav Misa, this Mitzri, because he hit a Yisrael? The answer is because there was no Yisrael at that time. They were all considered Bnei Noach. The only way that you can justify Moshe Rabbeinu knocking off this Mitzri is if you assume that the Mitzri violated Gilui Arayos. But as far as Maka Yisrael is concerned, there is no Maka Yisrael because the status of the Jews was that of a Ben Noach. And a Ben Noach who hits another Ben Noach is not Chayav Misa. A Ben Noach has to wound another Ben Noach, or perhaps kill another Ben Noach, in order to be Chayav Misa. Says the Parshas Drachim, here I show you the machlokas between the Marash Yafeh and Rav Elohim Mizrahi, which is really machlokas between the Ramban and the Chachmei Tzarfas, is really machlokas between the Gemara and the Medrash. The Gemara understands that the Avos had a status of Bnei Yisrael, and that's why they were allowed to study Torah, and that's why they were allowed to observe the Shabbos. The Medrash, on the other hand, understands the Klal Yisrael had the status of a Ben Noach, and therefore the Mitzri hits a Yisrael, he's not Chayiv Misa for that, because the Yisrael is not a Yisrael, he's a Ben Noach. And basically, the final conclusion, if you take a look on page 3 of the Parshas Drachim, is Machloket Zu Niftacha Begdolim V'Nistayim Begdolim. It starts with the Gemara and the Medrash, it then goes down to the Ramban and the Chachmei Tzarfas, and from there it comes to the Gedolim that lived in the 16th century, the 15th and 16th century, the Mizrahi and Rav Shmuel Yaffa. And after this, you know, we have a whole discussion about how Yaakov Avinu was able to be married to two sisters, but we'll leave that for another time.
Did Avraham Avinu do Mayim Achronim before he benched?
I would assume he did, for sure. I have no doubt about it. But when it comes to the ultimate Suda, Avraham Avinu says, I'm not going to take this covenant. I had Yishmael. Yitzchak also declines because he had Esau. And Yaakov declines because he was married to two sisters. And the question is, what kind of violation?
Who made the Avdolah candle?
Who made the Avdolah candles back in those days?
Yeah. What about Kashrus, like C-O-R-O-U?
So right. what was the malachis between Yosef and the brothers?
There is a possibility, which I didn't get a chance to review, I remember from my youth, that Yosef accused the brothers of violating an Isur that would only apply to a Ben Yisrael, and they understood that their status was that of a Ben Noach, and therefore they weren't guilty, like for example the Vela and so forth. Now, in terms of Dan, what you asked before, which I thought was a brilliant point, that maybe Yaakov Avinu was uncomfortable because even though he was technically allowed to marry two sisters, but nevertheless, you know, the Torah is not going to be very excited about his marrying two sisters. So I want to read to you another line from the Parshas Drachim, and he says the following. He says, Mikol makom, mitzad midas chasidus, hayalo lisrachek midover hadome leisur toro lefichach lorotza levarech. And this is in the name of the Radbaz. You know, the Radbaz was one of the Gedolim in Egypt. His name is Rabbi David ben Zimra, also from the same period of time, 5 centuries ago. And Yaakov Avinu should have been a chasid, which means to go beyond the letter of the law, or as you put it, Dan, the spirit of the law, to be misrachek midavra dome le'isur Torah. And guess what? It's not just the Parshas Drachim who says this, but the Maral Miprag says this. And he says, Gnayu desof sof dover ze ye nesar lichshi nosein Torah le'Yisrael. And that's a fascinating concept.
He saw the proof right in front of his eyes. He saw that the Torah had to die.
Right.
He must have realized that there's something wrong.
That's right. He must have sensed that it wasn't necessarily the best thing to do. The Ramban says it was in Chutz Laretz, and that wasn't too exciting because then Rachel had to die baderech b'tchilas bo'am la'aretz, so that he wouldn't be married to two sisters. And therefore, it could be that with regard to the avos, we have two categories. We have mitzvos, meaning the technical halacha, and then we have something like the reality, the mitzius. You know, the mitzius is not always dependent upon the aveir per se. Sometimes there's a sense that this is not to be done, even though technically or legally you could find a loophole. So that's what I'm reading here. He says, let me just read this to you. Unless you have to go, please go. He says, "Began a shmir sator lifnation nitna, that the Torah before it was given, which again according to the Ramban is only in Eretz Yisrael, yesh ba shtei bechinos. It has two dimensions: the tzivui, meaning those mitzvahs that would be coming down the pipeline, and then he says mitzius. Mitzius means the Metzias of the Bria, of Tov V'ra, The Avos were Mekayim the Torah, and they observed its mitzvahs not just because of the Tzivui, because they didn't actually have the Tzivui, but rather because of the Mitzius. The mitzvahs create a certain mitzius in the world. And the Ramban is of the opinion that that mitzius is only in Eretz Yisrael. And that's based on a pasuk that says, Ki mit ha-mitzvos mishpat elokei ha-aretz. The Ramban always quotes this pasuk to indicate that the mitzvos are elokei ha-aretz.
The only count in Eretz Yisrael the mitzvos.
That's the Ramban sheet, that everything in Chutz Lars is just a practice.
Practice, yeah. That's how I hold.
So it could be that there was a certain embarrassment on the part of Yaakov Avinu because he was married to two sisters, and in fact the Ramban says in Parshas Vayechi that why didn't Yaakov Avinu take Rachel after she passed away all the way to Hebron, you know, to the Maris HaMachpelah, to bury her there? And the Ramban says that that Yaakov Avinu would have been embarrassed if both Rachel and Leah were buried together in Maris HaMachpelah. The language of the Ramban is Kadesh lo yikbar sham shtei achios, two sisters be buried there, ki yavosh me'avosav. Because Yaakov would have been embarrassed in front of his fathers, meaning in front of Yitzhak and in front of Avram. But Leah, shehi niseis lo l'rishona, since it was Leah who was married to him first by 7 years, the heter, right, at that point there was nothing to talk about. He wasn't married to two sisters. Leah was the one who got to be buried in Ma'aras HaMachpelah. So in other words, according to Ramban, it comes out that Yaakov made a whole cheshbon here, and he decided to bury Leah in Ma'aras HaMachpelah rather than Rachel, because his marriage to Rachel in its time was a little bit, shall we say, sketchy, because it was something that, although technically might have been okay for various reasons and loopholes, but nevertheless the mitzius of being married to two sisters,
How did Yavos know the Torah?
I mean, I gotta go. That was a good
ball. All the best, Yechiel. Okay,
difficulty with these concepts.
All right, write me an email, Yechiel, and I'll try to research them.
Intellectually stimulating.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Now, just quickly, how did the Yavos know the Torah, the mitzvah?
So there's one statement in Chazal about Avram Avinu that Nasu Shtei Kloyosov Mayonos HaTorah, that his two kidneys were like angels from heaven, and they became wellsprings for the waters of the Torah. Now that seems to indicate that Avram Avinu got some sort of revelation, you know, a gilui from upstairs, and the Malachim taught him Torah. But I personally think that the way Chazal should be understood is the following. Again, this is just Lufi Anias Daiti. I don't know if there's any, don't rely on what I tell you. Avraham Avinu looked out at the universe, and with his great wisdom and insight, he was able to come up with the mitzvahs. Why? Chazal says, "Takel bo raisa ubara alma," that the blueprint for the Torah is the universe, and the universe itself is like a reflection, a mirror image of the Torah. Chukim also, again, you and I we don't have the capacity to see that in the universe, but Avraham Avinu, with his great wisdom, was able to discern even the chukim. And therefore, the concept of kloyos, you know, the function of the kidneys is to purify the toxins that are in the system, right? And that's why Nebuchadnezzar, if somebody's kidneys fail, he needs to be put on dialysis to clean out and purify his system. Avraham Avinu looked at the universe. Now, man had already corrupted the universe, even though there was a marble. And certainly the marble did wonders in purifying the universe. And hence, you'll see the rainbows that remind you of the marble. If you go to the Niagara Falls, you'll see the rainbows. But nevertheless, man never got his act together. Even after the marble, it says, Yetzer lev ha'adam ra minu urav. and petach chatos rovets, and man sins and he corrupts the universe. So in the pure theoretical sense, yeah, you could look at the universe, and if you have the wisdom of Avraham Avinu, you could actually reveal the entire Torah. But Avraham needed his klayos. The klayos represent the ability to remove the impurities. And if you focus on that which is pure in the divine universe without the admixture of the toxins that man inculcates into the universe, then you could discern the Torah. And now Avraham Avinu takes that Torah and he transmits it to his Talmidim. The primary Talmidim, of course, are of Yitzchak, and of course of Yitzchak Yaakov. Of Yaakov it seems to be Yosef. And the Torah is now transmitted from one generation to the other.
Okay, so now my last question for the day.
Yeah.
Why is it so important to Chazal that Yavos fulfilled all the Torah?
Well,
it's
not so important.
At this point.
It's not so important to Yaakov, it's important to Avraham, meaning Avraham becomes the father of this great nation.
No, why Chazal, our Chazal?
I'm saying, so Chazal...
At this point that Yavos...
Chazal really have an agenda here. They want to know, why is Avraham the father of this generation, of this nation? And when they read the pasuk and told us that we started with Chavav Hey, they see that Avraham Avinu was chosen by Hashem because he was Mekayim the entire Torah. And that entire Torah includes Torah Shemachsav and Torah Shemal Peh, Halach Moshe Yusina. It includes Chukim, it includes Mishpatim that are logically intuited, it includes even Harchokas Durabbanon, even Takonas Durabbanon like Erev Tavshil, the whole gamut. Avraham Avinu was dedicated to fill it. He was the perfect Jew. And after him was Yitzhak and Yaakov. And it's very important that we understand that they were committed to all the mitzvahs. The only thing you might ask me is, what about Gid Anoshe, for example, right? So Gid Anoshe is given in this week's Parashat Vayishlach to Yaakov and his children after the episode with the Malach. Now, assuming that Avraham Avinu passed on the tradition of all the 39 mitzvahs, I would like to assume that Gid Anoshe was included, because Gid Anoshe is one of the 613. But yet Gid Anoshe is only given in Parshas Vayishlach. And the truth is that you could ask that question not only about Gid Anoshe, but wait, what other example just popped out of my head?
Well, everything that happens later.
I remember the third example is Avram and Achai. Avram and Achai was given before the Torah was given to Bnei Noach. However, it was given again a second time to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. We are obligated and dedicated to observe Avram and Achai.
From the second time.
And for that matter, Mila and Gid Anoshe, not because of these mitzvot that were given in their time to Avram, or before that to Noach, to Avram, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, but because it was given at Har Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos and Perek Gid Anoshe in Chulin. Okay, Rabbi Osari, we'll stop here.